2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
MLB Daily Dispatch brought to you by good folks over at DFSArmor.com. Hey, if you're not signed up with us, what a time to do so. Use the promo code PODCAST when you get to the site. Choose from your monthly or yearly options there, and then you will be intact with some of the finest names in the DFS industry. With all that in tune with our membership, you get 24 access to our premium Slack chat membership where you got me, Keith, Chapadon, Keith, Taco, all the guys in there that you can certainly chat with each day. We've got a lineup maker that we got for NBA playoffs, DFS golf, NASCAR, all sorts of things that we got going on there. So definitely check us out. Once again, DFSArmor.com. Use the promo code PODCAST. I'm your host, Al Walsh, back on a day-long sickness hiatus. You can find me on Twitter at 14A.Walsh. Find Keith Hall. He's always here pulling the double duty. Find him on Twitter at Boomers DFS Daddy. So Keith, yesterday, a lot of just absolutely tilting stuff going on in the MLB industry. Let's rein the reins back in today, shall we?
Yeah, please do. Last night was like, I've had bad days, you know, and me and Chop talked about it yesterday as far as, you know, variance and all this other stuff, you know, making variance your bitch and everything, and embracing it and kind of rolling with the punches. But I tell you what, yesterday was one of the more tilting days in MLB DFS that I've had in a long, long time. We'll just leave it at that. When Trevor Cahill is chalk and turns out to be a good play, I don't care who he was going against. It just so happened he was going against the Rockies, but I don't care who he's going against. When it comes down to that, it's going to tilt me a little bit harder than normal. I don't understand. I understand the reasoning, and I understand all of it, but you can't tell me that on a normal day is a good play, because I will vehemently disagree with you.
Well, here's an interesting thing, right? And I was thinking about this yesterday, whether, you know, we are kind of in the business of sort of calling things and, you know, sort of predicting how they will go. But, I mean, early on, first month of the season, there are a lot of things that we're kind of, you know, scratching our heads over. The power surge of Eric Thames in April, Trevor Cahill having at least six strikeouts in each game, the Mets starting rotation just completely collapsing before our eyes. I mean, in a weird way, I kind of feel like we should just be more or less be observing and going forward with these things, because, you know, I made the same mistake two seasons ago in NBA, just basically going off of what I know and, you know, carrying that over from the next season over. And that's not necessarily what's going on. I mean, you know, especially baseball players, these guys get, you know, a lot of time off. So,
and I can see that with
season to season.
I get it, and I understand it, and I can see that with pitchers or with hitters, you know, because, you know, I'm going to take four at bats every single day. I'm going to play 6-7 days a week. You know, we've got all these things going on. But Trevor Cahill had a 41 inning sample size. Like, all these guys around the industry that are sitting there telling you that, you know, they want a 2 to 3 year sample size and all this other stuff, and then they recommend Trevor Cahill off of a 41 inning sample size with his new found you know, pitch arsenal and selection and whatever like that. To me, that's hypocritical. Like, if this was halfway through the season, if this was July, and he had been doing this more times than not, then yeah, I could see it. But don't tell me off of a 41 inning sample size in the last two years that this is what you're expecting, because it's, I don't know. I for pitchers, even still right now, for pitchers, I go back to the beginning of last year. And it's, you know, we've got guys that have under 100 innings that we still don't know who they're going to be in the majors. Going on today's slate that I have interest in, but I have interest in them because of what they've done so far. You know, not if you go, because if you pull Trevor Cahill stats back from before the beginning of last year, you're talking about he's a completely different pitcher, which is fine. I get it. You know, I'm the biggest advocate for making adjustments and getting better as a player, you know, but don't tell me that you're going off of a 41 inning sample size. If you want to tell me that it was, you know, because he's been pitching, it's because he's hot, or because he's in or Petco, fact that he's 5K, yeah, or whatever.
The fact that he's priced next to the dollar bottle of soda. Yeah.
Then, yeah, that's fine. Then I can live with that being your reasoning. Don't tell me it's because you like his underlining statistics and all this other stuff, because then I'm going to call you out on it. So,
most people in the industry are going to, you know, they don't really give a shit, right? As long as they get the points, that's how it goes. But anyway, that is how it went down yesterday. Of course, Chris Sale dominating. I thought that was kind of a chicken shit move, what he did to Manny Machado, throwing behind him there, because all of a sudden that puts a lot of those Orioles hitters on tilt. And look, I know that the Orioles have absolutely sucked against left-handed pitching, but that – I felt like that was a big reason for them getting, you know, for Sale getting 11 Ks last night. You saw a lot of these guys not really sure what to expect going up at the plate last night, getting that crazy look in Sale's eye. I mean, you know, maybe it attributed to a couple more, but I mean, I felt like Sale kind of set the tone for how his night was going to go, because, I don't know, you just saw a lot of the Orioles hitters kind of like wobbly legs, wondering if they should get out of the way or, you know, swing the bat or whatever. So,
well, if I'm an opposing pitcher, that's exactly what I want to do.
Yeah.
I want to send it. Maybe
we talked about this in the Slack chat. If he's in the NL, there's no way he pulls that shit. He's been bullshit. A career AL. No, because he's a career
this
AL
is a guy,
pitcher.
This is a guy that, just,
that he can't get dotted going up there.
This
so
is a guy that
exactly
cut up jerseys before a game, dude. I don't think he's worried.
Oh, everyone beware of the guy with the scissors cutting up jerseys.
No, I'm just saying, I think he's I think he's a little wired a little differently than normal, you know? I think that he would not be worried about going up there and taking one in the back either. I don't have a problem with what he did, because he didn't go at the head. He didn't go near the neck, you know? Maybe
he hits Machado's kneecaps there. He's done.
Maybe he came a little too far inside or whatever, you know, throwing behind him, you know, whatever. But, you know, as a pitcher, I want to establish the inside part of the plate, you know, because I want to make sure that my job is to make the hitters as uncomfortable as possible. And my job as a catcher is to do that as well. The only, you know, if he had done this to, say, Miguel Sano, you know, or whatever, then we don't think anything of it, because there's not a history there. But since there's a history there and a recent history, now we think something of it. I don't know if it was intentional or not. I can't get into the mind of Chris Sale. I don't even plan on it.
Don't even play this card. Of course
no.
It's intentional.
I'm not okay. Without I don't know. I don't. There was a purpose behind it. Let me put it that way. There was a purpose behind it. Whether he was trying to hit him, I don't know. I'll give you there was a purpose, but I don't know about the hitting part, because Chris Sale has lived on the inside his whole career, especially this year. And if I've got a team that, even though I know they suck against left-handed pitching, has, you know, power, and the wind's blowing out, and, you know, I'm not saying that there wasn't, he didn't mean to hit him and he just missed, but I'm not as sold on it as I was with, like, Matt Barnes.
Well, yeah, I mean,
you know, so that's my whole thing.
I don't know.
There was definitely purpose and intent behind it, but to hit him or make him uncomfortable is where I draw the shadiness.
Well, like, number one, Machado. I mean, obviously Machado homers the night before, right? He makes a ridiculous amount of, you know, good defensive plays going on. So he's the guy that everyone's targeting here. And I, you know, what's funny, I don't
and
even.
Then Machado had the best answer.
What's that?
He got him later on in the game.
Well, oh, I thought you meant in his post-game presser.
Oh, yeah, that too. But
that was a good one. Yes, yes. But, yeah, he did end up taking him deep, which I thought was pretty – I don't even want to say classy, because I certainly wouldn't have done it. I would have been barking my whole way around the base pass, where he doesn't even make eye contact.
Oh, he took a little extra time again.
A little extra time, but, like, if I'm him, I'm going around the base pass, like, all right, pal, like, you know, F you, this, that. You know, might even throw in a couple unpleasantries at his family's way, but, you know, that's just me, and, you know, that's how I was grown up, if you will.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So,
all right, we've got an entire complete game slate here, 15 games. I know we're kind of on a pitch limit here, if you will, with how much time we got to go, so let's just start up with it. We've got the Toronto Blue Jays at the Yankees once again. Marcus Stroman, the righty, goes for the Jays. CeCe Sabathia, the lefty, goes for the Yankees. Aside from one start this season, Stroman's been pretty good against the Red Sox, 2-2, 2.97 ERA. Whip's really great there at 1.18. Good BVP numbers against these current Yankees. He's 5-2 with the 2.17 against. I'm sorry, with a 2.17 ERA against him in his last eight starts. CeCe Sabathia, he's just been absolutely crushed his last two times out. He's allowed 16 hits, 4 walks, 11 earned runs, 4 homers in his last 10 and two-thirds innings. Very bad against the Blue Jays in his last 7 starts, 1-5 with a 4.30 ERA. The one thing here about CeCe, though, he's going to be I don't want to say a watered-down Jays lineup, but he will avoid guys like Troy Tulowitzki, Josh Donaldson, guys like that who have given him
a little bit more stuff in the past. Let's not sugarcoat it. It's watered down.
They've put up some decent numbers here in the last couple of days. So
yeah, they've been performing better, but it's still watered down.
All right. Just with the two pitchers there, any pickup advice from either one or notes?
I'm a little torn here because the contrarian person in me says ground ball pitcher. You know, in Yankee Stadium, I think a lot of these guys are going to be neutralized. I want to look at some of these batted ball profiles for the Yankees. If I'm not mistaken, some of them are fly ball hitters, which kind of leads me to say, no, I don't want any Marcus Stroman. But Stroman has been by far the best pitcher on the Blue Jays this season. And if anybody can go in and cool off these Yankee bats, even for one day, I think it could be Stroman. It's definitely a DraftKings only play for me, just because after last night, I've come to the conclusion that I'm done trying to be contrarian on FanDuel with pitchers. I'm just going to play the best play and then build my lineups around those. I fed it Chris Sale on FanDuel last night, and yeah, that sucked. So I had him on both my DraftKings lineups, just not on FanDuel. I was trying to get cute and win a queue and beat people with my bats, and it helps when you do that if your pitchers actually perform and not go in the negative.
Chris Sale last night on FanDuel, I did the math. I believe it was 5.23 points per dollar that he had last night, so that was pretty good.
Yeah.
And then Carlos Martinez, who I went with, didn't necessarily have the strikeouts, but actually, you know, he had a good pitcher's game. He ended up with, I believe it was 4.86 per dollar. So Sale got him overall and by the point per dollar as well. So just throwing that out, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm more. I have more interest in some of these bats.
Okay.
And I'm gonna really, honestly, is today the day? Is today the day, my friend? Because Jose Bautista, the last couple games, has started to look pretty good.
Swinging a hot stick. He actually hit a homer. Was that Monday? And then he also
hit one yesterday.
Did he go yard yesterday?
I thought he did. Hold on, I'm looking.
If he didn't, he was very close because I stopped watching after the, I believe, the seventh inning.
Oh, he did not.
He did not. Right, well, he was close. He was close if he didn't then, because I was going to say he's hit one homer at Yankee Stadium and I believe two doubles here in this series. So, yeah, I mean,
five hits in his last three games. So,
yeah, the bat is coming around for him.
That's good to see. Slow start, good to go. Let's start riding that price up a little bit. Maybe not, you know, like a quote-unquote all-in type play, but let's start riding that bat up a little bit. Russell Martin's starting to hit the ball a little bit better. Justin Smoke, Steve Pierce went double dong last night. I've got some interest in these Blue Jays against CeCe. I know the DFSA grades don't, like, show it, but remember that this Blue Jays team has been very, very, very cold, like ice cold, like Antarctica ice cold. But CeCe is not the same pitcher as he was his first five starts. This is more the CeCe Sabathia of old. And I don't have any problems tonight in Yankee Stadium.
He's boozing again. Brings up a good point because, you know, just as I mentioned, you know, his last two starts, he's just been absolutely atrocious. So now we put him back in Yankee Stadium. I forget if his last one was at Yankee Stadium, but I do know, I mean, he got roughed up in Pittsburgh, which is one of the worst hitting environments. So, you know, the way that the Jays bats are swinging lately, that should be a good thing. The BVP against Sabathia isn't really that great for a lot of these hitters, but I'm going to tend to Sabathia is not an overpowering pitcher, so I don't see that trend playing out.
He used to be, and he's not. And the wind is blowing out to right field at 16 miles an hour today.
Oh, my. Oh, my God. All right. Any Yankees bets? Grab you here. Now, keep in mind, Stroman also has some very good BVP numbers against a lot of these Yankees, and right-handed bats are hitting .306 against Stroman this season, as opposed to .219 from the left-handed side over the previous three seasons. Right-handers did slightly better against Stroman as well.
Yeah, I want guys that could probably go to right field, guys that don't have a problem going the other way. Matt Holliday, Aaron Judge, guys like that I'm really looking at. I have to look like I said, I want to look more into the batted ball profile of some of these Yankees hitters.
Starlin Castro, don't forget.
I'm not chasing Brett Gardner double dong. I think his ownership's going to be kind of higher than normal. Maybe a Didi Gregorius. You know, he hasn't really hit well since coming back off the DL, but
last two games, first three games, he did pretty well.
Yeah, well, that's what I meant in this series. Okay. You know, Greg Bird went on the DL, so Chris Carter's going to be in the lineup tonight. He's still really, really cheap on FanDuel, 2,300. And then, of course, we just keep playing Austin Romine. You know, nice little wraparound stack if you go Romine, Headley. You know, Castro, Judge, depending on where he's in the lineup.
I wanted to cut it because Romine actually got injured on the base pass last night, so I don't know.
Well, fuck him. How come all my damn catchers got hurt last night?
It was very late in the game. I believe the seventh inning, but
Tony Walters, Jet Bandy, Austin Romine. I think Alex Avila got hurt got banged up last night. It was not – this is just adding to it because it was not a good night.
Sheesh. So, yeah, if Romine is indeed going to miss another game, I I'm glad you brought that up. That's actually going to be a very bad thing for Sabathia and probably an even better thing for the Blue Jays hitters. Just Romine has been excellent behind the plate calling games for the Yankees. So, and then in turn, Higasoshi Gasagawa – You know, he'll probably be minimum price. I'm not sure what he is right now in terms
he
of price.
He is mid on FanDuel, and he is 23 on DraftKings. His name is Kyle Higashiyaka.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was, right? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so.
But yeah, he might not be a bad idea for a minimum price bat, especially right-hander on righty, which we were talking about against Stroman. So that could work. All right, let's head to the nation's capital. We got a pair of lefties going at it. Robbie Ray for the Diamondbacks, Gio Gonzalez for the Nationals. Robbie Ray, as we all know, big strikeout guy. Three of his last four starts have been of the quality variety. He's a much better pitcher on the road. However, this Nationals team is the best offense against left-handed pitching this season, so let's keep that in mind. Gio Gonzalez, very quietly having a good season. He's 3-0, 1.62 ERA, 1.14 WHIP. He's had five quality starts in five tries. Good thing about him, too, the opposition is only 2-for-25 with runners in scoring position against Gonzalez this season. Either any interest in either guy here?
No.
All right, let's go to the sticks because that is the main attraction here. As we saw last night, Diamondbacks very capable of banging out with this Nationals team. I'm not sure it's going to go the same exact way tonight. I think the Nationals are going to get a lot more involved than they were last night. But I will say this Diamondbacks team does have some good BVP against Gio Gonzalez. However, as you know, all their big guys, Paul Goldschmidt, 8-for-12, AJ Pollock, 4-for-9, Yasmani Tomas, 3-for-4, Chris Owings, 3-for-8. But what do they all have in common? They've all been singles against Gio Gonzalez.
I was going to say 50 million strikeouts.
Oh, hey now. So we got that, and then the BVP history against Ray. Not much for this Nationals team, but Wilmer Defoe, Chris Heisey, and Pedro Severino. Not all the big names there, but they have all gone yard against Ray.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like picking on this team, this Nationals team. It's just, you know, if we sit here and we look at some of these. Oh, man. Hey, if you've looked at the DFSA grades this morning already, then you could see that besides Matt Wieters has a 1,094.46 adjusted DFSA grade today.
That's a record in some countries.
That is a record, mind you. I thought Ryan Zimmerman's 387.54 was a record. No. This is a record. Now, is he a good play? Yes. Does that mean that he's no? It's a small sample size. I am looking to see exactly how many at bats here Wieters has had versus left-handed pitching. Wieters, he has had nine at bats. And a lot of what that has to do with the fact is he's got a 750 ISO, a 667 OBP. a 822 wOBA and zero strikeouts. So yeah, it's he's a good play today, guys. That doesn't make him an all-in, but it does make him a good play. Me and Chop talked about this yesterday. Normally you would want guys like, you know, Zimmerman, Harper, Murphy. Right. I think you should put Jason Worth in there now, since he's batting in that two hole against the lefty. This is normally a traditional guy that's mashed lefties. I don't mind going a 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 stack on DraftKings tonight.
Gotcha. And by the way, thank you, Chopadon, for filling in for a sick me yesterday.
He's going to be joining us on Tuesdays, regardless if you're here or not.
Woo! I like it. I like it. And by the way, I feel like we should. Well, I'll make it official at the end too. But only four night games tomorrow. So
no pod
tomorrow. Right? Good. All right. Ton of afternoon baseball though. So I will be up and early for that one. All right. Now, when we talk about Gio Gonzalez, you know, not an overly powering pitcher, but it is kind of weird that he's given up only singles to all these big names over the course of his career with the Diamondbacks. Do you see any of that changing tonight?
Yeah. Paul Goldschmidt, Let's see what the weather is here, because that's going to have a lot to do with whether the ball's flying or
Ball.
not. We have 63, no rain, wind kind of blowing in from left at about 9 miles an hour. So not really huge. Nothing to
Okay.
really adjust anything that I'm kind of thinking. And it's supposed to die down as it gets, later on in the evening. But no, I'm not really thinking that Gio Gonzalez is going to get singled to death. I think he's going to get hit pretty hard. This is a Diamondbacks team. And not only that, but even if he does get hit hard or, is singled to death, this D-backs team is a team that decides that they don't care who the pitcher is, they're going to run. So, AJ, or not AJ Pollock, Paul Goldschmidt got caught for the first time last night on the
Wow.
season. So.
All right, let us get into the next one here. We talked a little bit about it at the beginning, but the Baltimore Orioles at the Boston Red Sox here at Fenway Park. Kevin Gausman, the right-hander, goes for the Orioles, and Drew Pomeranz, one of my favorites, the lefty, goes for the Red Sox. Gausman has just been complete shit this season. Last three starts, he's given up 24 hits, 8 walks, 18 earned runs, 6 homers, and he's only had 9 strikeouts. All of this being in 14 innings. He's allowed 8 hits in 3 straight starts, and 4 of his 6 starts, he's allowed 8 hits as well. Faced the Red Sox back on April 23rd. It wasn't pretty there. You can go take a look at the box score for yourself. We got Drew Pomeranz, 2-1 with a 4.15 ERA, which is a bit high. And the whip, not too bad, 1.25. He's already faced Baltimore twice this season. One good, one bad, blah, blah. Look, we all know Baltimore struggles against left-handed pitching, but I do believe they're going to have some added motivation for tonight. I would normally love my boy Pomeranz here, but I do think the Orioles are going to put some runs up tonight. Just out
Really,
of sheer hatred for the Red Sox.
we're on completely opposite ends of the spectrum on this one,
That's
because
all right.
I think they're going to get shut down. I love Drew Pomeranz tonight. I think he's one of the top value plays on the board right now, in my opinion.
All right.
So, yeah, I don't mind Drew Pomeranz at all. If I'm depending on how much Pomeranz I have, I have no idea what I'm doing tonight yet. But you might throw a guy like Manny Machado in there.
Right.
That would probably be about it. He's the only one that's got a positive matchup as far as the DFS A grade today. So that'd probably be the only guy I'd throw in there.
Interesting, interesting.
Everybody else is below and a 15 as far as the
Wow.
DFSA grade today.
Well, that sucks, but this is one where I'm going beyond the numbers because I just, again, I feel, the Orioles, they, we, first of all, here's another thing, right? You might want to hold off on a starting pitcher in this game because, number one, we might see a beanball war. All right, I doubt that the Red Sox, and what a perfect guy to throw the beanball rather than Kevin Gausman, right? I already mentioned all of his shitty statistics, so I'm sure they're like, hey, go out there, throw it the first guy, so we don't have to pitch you tonight, and get some extra rest with the suspension, all this other stuff.
I
Now
don't
look.
think Buck Showalter wants to blow through his bullpen.
Just saying. I feel like they have to do something in this sense. I have a feeling, not everyone's jersey is going to be clean by the end of the night tonight. So I just wanted to take a look at the implied opening numbers here. Now, it's interesting. Now, the Red Sox have the highest implied total of the night, and we're looking at the Orioles. They're at 4.2. They're certainly not the bottom, but, not exactly near the top either. But again, I just feel like we're going to see a lot of motivation, a lot of runs in total. We have a 9, overall total in this game. I don't agree with the Red Sox being over the or being the highest total of the night because these guys just are not hitting well at all.
It's Kevin Gausman.
I know, but they were supposed to pound Alec Asher into the ground last night. And it seems like Hanley Ramirez and Mitch Moreland are really the only guys making clean contact with the ball right now.
Did I tell you, did you hear what between the history between Sale and Asher?
Yes.
they high school teammates.
Actually, it was hysterical, right? So I remember you saying that. Now they actually weren't high school teammates. They went to the same high school because they were talking about it on the broadcast.
Well, here's Asher the thing. Was on the freshman team when or JV when he was.
But here's what was funny, right? Because I guess Bob Costas was doing the game last night, and he said it like three times that they weren't high school teammates. I'm like, is he part of the DFS Army? Did he hear what Keith was saying tonight? Because it was just like – it was hysterical that he said it that many times. And I was like, all right, Bob, we get it, bro.
Yeah, exactly. So I kind of like it. You know, and their dads were watching the game together.
Yes,
That was true. But, you know, I can see where you're coming from. I just don't see it. That's my whole thing. I just don't see I just don't see how the Red Sox just don't light up Gausman tonight.
I think that they can get over the, you know, their implied total of, you know, 4.9 or whatever it is. I don't know. And look, hey, you know me, right? And on the other side of things, Pomeranz, one of my favorite pitchers in the league. So for me to say that I'm not really digging him tonight, I mean, that's how strongly I feel about, you know, just the Orioles being men about this and stepping up to the challenge of these Red Sox.
Yeah. I think that they just need to wait until the next series in order to renew this shit. Because if that's the case, then, you know... I hear you.
For me, though, I'm going to say I do have some interest in Wellington Castillo, and I think Trey Mancini gets off of it.
Wellington Castillo might not be in the lineup.
No! Wellington, no!
Because you would have thought that he would have been in the lineup last night against Sale. Maybe, you know, they're not resting him. He's banged up.
Oh, no. He's put on the disabled list Tuesday due to tendonitis in his shoulder. Good to know.
So... it's going to be Caleb Joseph again. You just got to kind of live with it. Now, Caleb Joseph has actually, you know, performed pretty well against left-handed pitching so far this season. He's got a 375 ISO. Now, it's only a 254 WOBA, but he's a 375 ISO. It's a limited sample size, guys. Don't worry about it.
Now, yeah, I'm going to save that one for the notes section of today. I don't even want to say it on the podcast just in case it doesn't happen. All right, let's just get to the next game here. We got the Cleveland Indians at the Detroit Tigers. Carlos Carrasco, the righty, goes for the Tribe. Matt Boyd, the lefty, goes for the Tigers. Carrasco, been amazing this season. 2-2, 2.04 ERA, was a 0.79 whip. He's got four quality starts and five tries. The only one that wasn't of the quality variety, he missed by one out. Matty Boyd here going for the Tigers. He's got three quality starts and five tries. Numbers about as average as you can get. You know, I would like to see a lot less guys on the base pass for him, but he has been holding him to holding opposing teams to a decent run total. I got to tell you, the Indians, they're starting to turn into the new Orioles against left-handed pitching. They have just absolutely sucked. That Daniel Norris, who's been notoriously terrible at Comerica Park, even skilled them the other night. So we got to dissect these Indians. What's going on against the lefties?
They suck versus lefties.
Whoa, doctor. Easy with the diagnosis.
It's one of those things that you've got to – kind of pay attention to. It's the trend. You wouldn't think that they would suck against the lefties, but you know, Carlos Santana's weaker side is on the right side of the plate. You've got guys like Lonnie Chisenhall that aren't in the lineup. Brandon Guyer has not hit so far this season. I mean Michael Brantley is a left-handed bat. He gets on base, but he doesn't hit for power against left-handed pitching. Edwin has You want to guess what Edwin's ISO versus left-handed pitching is this season?
14.
It is a 0.000.
Wow. I wasn't too far off.
Yeah, Jason Kipnis, obviously, he's a left-handed bat. So,
I didn't mean 14. I meant like 0.1401. Well,
I know what you meant, like a 140.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, these guys, nobody other than Yan Gomes has over a 200 ISO versus left-handed pitching. The only other guy that's close is Francisco Lindor, who's at a 195. Now, I do like Lindor as a one-off, and, you know, depending on – let's look at the bullpen report here real quick. Bullpen usage. For the Tigers, the bullpen usage – they've got Blaine Hardy, who threw 15 pitches on Sunday, and Justin Wilson, who threw 22 last night, and then Chad Bell, who hasn't thrown in a couple days. So they've got lefties to kind of match up with these guys. I'm probably, other than a one-off of maybe Rendon or Lindor, probably not going to go anywhere close to this Indians team.
Gotcha. Yeah, look, they're just absolutely struggling right now. Certainly not going to be going with Matt Boyd tonight, but at the same time, I just want to stay far away from that. And looking at Carrasco, any interest going up or using him as your pitcher tonight? Or
absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay. All right. Well, that answers my next question, but yeah, I guess I don't even have to ask it.
Now, I do think that, you know, the Tigers, they do have a couple guys that can, you know, if Alex Avila finds his way back in the lineup, I don't mind that. I think Miggy, he came back, hit a home run, and then left with the same exact damn injury, as last night, or as he went on the disabled list with. But, I think he's got the best overall numbers. He's 10 for 34 yeah. against him, with a home run and a double. You know, I actually probably don't have... You know, Alex Avila would be the only guy.
Yeah.
Other than that, not really.
All right. What's interesting, left-handers are hitting significantly better against Carrasco than right-handed bats this season, which isn't normally unusual, but over the last three seasons, right-handers have actually hit for 19 points higher than left-handed bats against Carrasco. So maybe we see something happen coming back to the mean, but I don't think so. I think Carrasco is going to have a good start here. Just thought I'd mention that.
Yep, I agree.
All right, let's move to the other part of Ohio where we got the Pittsburgh Pirates at the Cincinnati Reds. Pair of righties go here. Jameson Taillon for the Pirates and rookie Davis goes for the Reds. Remember, I finally got Jameson Taillon right here, not James. Taillon's had a pretty damn good start to the season. He's 2-0, ERA at 2.08, WHIP 1.25. Faced Cincinnati back on April 11th. Had 4 Ks in 6 innings, only allowed 2 earned runs. He was quality that day. Now, rookie Davis, not such a great start to his MLB career. He's got an ERA of 11.17, the WHIP at a monstrous 2.59. His last outing had a lot to do with those numbers right there. He gave up 11 hits, 7 earned runs, over 2 2/3 to the Milwaukee Brewers. Did face the Pirates back on April 11th. Only went 4 innings, so really not much to look at there. The Pirates only have 4 innings of BVP history against Davis. Against Taillon, you really don't have too many numbers, but Scooter Gennett is 4 of 13 with a double, and Adam Duvall is actually 2 of 8 with 2 homers against Jameson Taillon. I'm leading Taillon here, but do the Reds' bats interest you more here?
Yes.
All right.
It's not that I don't think Taillon's a good play. I just don't think Taillon's a good play on this slate against this team in this ballpark. With
on this earth.
On a 15-game slate. You know, everything except for, you know, well, everything pretty much is just telling me no on Jameson Taillon. Now, with that said, can I see Taillon maybe not shutting down the Reds, but neutralizing them a little bit? Yeah, I could. You know, if 3-4-1 runs, getting a quality start, and then a lot of the production coming from the Reds' bats against this Pirates bullpen, yeah, I definitely could. But I also know that the... I also know that the Reds are kind of clicking still. Now, I know it didn't show last night, but, you know, they came out and slapped, who was it? Glasnow in the mouth. And you got to give it to Glasnow. He showed some gumption last night and, you know, kind of made it known that he's not just going to be pushed around like a bully.
You missed a perfect opportunity right there, Keith. They slapped glass now, and you could have went jaw there. Glass jaw.
Yeah, I could have. Glass jaw. I wasn't even thinking of that.
Carry on.
So, yeah, that's pretty much, you know, what my real interest is, you know, guys like Billy Hamilton, guys like Scott Schebler, Adam Duvall, you know, Joey Votto. Everybody's like, I can't pay this price for him. Well, he paid it off last night in the first inning. Now, they didn't do anything the rest of the night, but he did pay you off. You know, Zach Cozart, I mean, I like these guys. They're seeing the ball well. They're hitting the ball well. And Billy Hamilton, ever since Jose Peraza has been knocked out of that two hole down to the seven hole, Billy Hamilton has said, okay, time to run. So yes. Even though Billy Hamilton's numbers don't look good as far as like the DFSA grade and everything like that, if he gets on base, it's pretty much a, you know, steal second, steal third. And if he scores the run, it's basically like a home run on FanDuel. So.
Yes. Yeah. On Monday, I remember him he had very good BVP numbers against Garrett Cole. I'm like, well, if he's going to get on base, he's going to steal. So
yeah.
While I go. All right. So we've got all that. I mean, look, yeah, you kind of talked me off the ledge a little on Taillon, but again, I wasn't extremely high on him, especially being at Great American Ballpark. You know, the Reds certainly got their plenty full worth of hitters. And of course, by the time I catch on the Scott Schebler train, has already left the station, but hey, I might even try once again tonight. Who knows?
It's better to be late than never.
Indeed, indeed. All right, any other interest? I mean, look, we talked about Rookie Davis. I've never really actually watched him pitch. I mean, of course.
Good, don't.
I was going to say, of course, you can see here in the box scores that it hasn't gone well for him. Have you watched him? Anything noticeable really stand out from his suckiness?
He leaves a lot of pitches over the heart of the plate. He hasn't kind of learned how to really set hitters up yet, I guess is the way to kind of go there. It's very, very, very difficult to, as a pitcher and a catcher, it's very difficult to kind of watch. It's just, it's very, very, very difficult to watch a guy that's pitching in the major leagues not really either have the confidence or the wherewithal to know how to kind of set up major league hitting. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that he is a rookie. You know, it will come back to him or come back to him. He will learn it because he's got good catchers. So he'll learn it, but you know, he's a rookie. So that's pretty much what the big thing is there. If he can keep these Pirates hitters off balance, because after what they did last night, I think they're going to be higher owned.
Last two nights, right?
Well, really last night.
All right. What'd they do Monday? Seven? I completely forgot.
Yeah, I mean,
all these baseball days are starting to run into one another. I'm in September form in May. Not good.
Wow. I'll give you that one. With what they did, you know, last night, I think they're going to be higher owned than what they probably should be. And I'm willing, maybe not a full-fledged fade, but I'm willing to take some chances and not have as much exposure to them as, you know, others will insist that you have.
All right.
So.
Let's see. Yeah, I mean, Josh Harrison probably going to be ultra chalky. He's had, what, three homers here in the last 2 days at Cincinnati, so you got that. And then, you know, you could really just take your pick of any Pirates hitters. I mean, yeah, sure, they're going to be in one of the best positions in baseball going against one of the worst pitchers at one of the best ballparks. But as we've seen so many times in baseball this season, it could be too good of a matchup. Yes, there is such a thing, folks. It exists.
Yeah, it does. You know, it's. We'll talk about a couple other ones. There's one really that I'm that we all know that I'm looking forward to, but it almost seems too good to be true sometimes. And you know, if in baseball, I'm not as hard pressed to make sure that I have. You know, have to have somebody because the variance is real and it can, you know, it can turn out in your favor. Now, last night didn't, so hopefully tonight it does. But yeah, I don't mind fading the Pirates in a lot of lineups just because of how chalky they might be. Now, if I think they're going to be, I don't want to say sneaky, but lower owned than what I originally thought, then maybe I go back to them a little bit. But
well, you know, again, on a 15 game slate, you probably won't get astronomical ownership.
Dude, they put up 12 runs last night. They're in Cincinnati. They're going against rookie Davis.
I'm just saying.
I'm expecting this to be one of the highest owned stacks of the night.
Hey, what we expect and what we know, two different.
Definitely 100% agree with you on that one. I will. I agree with you on that one 100%. But damn.
Yes, damn. Damn is correct. All right, let's take it down to the Sunshine State. Pair of lefties there. Adam Conley goes for the Marlins, and Blake Snell goes for the Rays. I mean, look, I like Adam Conley as a pitcher. He's definitely going up against one of the best strikeout teams here in the Rays. But, you know, his last start against the Pirates did not go so well. He only went 1 2/3, allowed 9 earned runs. Wasn't even necessarily, you know, the hits. I mean, I guess, you know, 5 hits, 3 walks in an inning and 2/3 kind of adds up. But I'll be willing to overlook that. He did go up against a very right-handed, laden Pirates lineup. Whatever. Bad start. It was his only one of the season. Blake Snell, he's got some massive strikeout upside here going into the NL Park. Up against the Marlins, he will get to face a left-handed hitting pitcher, which should boost his K total. However, the thing with Snell, it's massive control issues so far that are really holding him back. He's had 18 walks so far in 26 and a third of an inning. No quality starts yet in 5 starts. Can this guy finally right the wrongs in the NL Park tonight?
I mean, he can't. He's in Tropicana.
Son of a bitch.
This is a home. This is one of those home and home series.
Forget everything I said.
So, yeah, I mean, he can write the ship. There's no doubt about that. The issue is, you know, you've got guys like Stanton who, when he does make contact with it, he sends it a country mile. And Marcelo Zuna, who's one of the better hitters in baseball right now. So, yeah, I mean, he can, but I don't think it's because of the strikeouts. I think it has more to do with, you know, just because he's being efficient and, you know, actually pitching well,
right?
If that makes sense, any sense whatsoever. Anybody? Right. Anybody?
Anyone? Bueller? I can't believe I effed that one up at the beginning. Anywho, hey, you know what? Miami, Tampa, they both got shitty stadiums. Am I right? Yeah.
Miami Stadium's actually pretty freaking sweet.
If you're into all that flamboyant shit.
Nah, that's the only part. But the actual stadium is pretty sweet. The concept
great
of
on Cinco de Mayo
Friday. The concept of it is great, but with that said, you know, the color scheme of it is not the greatest in the world.
Hell no. I will say I do appreciate the fish tank behind home plate. That is cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is dope. All right. All right, if we're not going pitchers, what hitters intrigue us there?
Nobody really.
Okay.
I'm not really that enthused by it. I don't have a lot of interest here with these guys.
Okay. I got to tell you, I mean, you know, since we got the strikeout rate with the Rays and, you know, I mean, Adam Conley kind of interests me here. And again, this is, you know, I have this notion. I think, you know, we've talked about this the last time Verlander got blown up, but, you know, pitchers, you know, coming off these really bad starts, they kind of hunker down, and, you know, make sure that it doesn't happen again a second time. You know, Conley, he's had a 9 strikeout game before, I believe, this season. You know, if we get the Rays here, especially if Evan Longoria is going to be out, I know he's got a little bit of an ailment. You got some, you know, Kevin Kiermaier's not swinging the bat lately. That could be a free strikeout. You know, there's a couple guys here that aren't hitting as well. The Rays have kind of been in a funk the last couple days. So I don't know. Conley kind of interests me here, but it's more of a gut play than actually numbers showing it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's move it. We've got the New York Mets at the Atlanta Braves. Jacob DeGrom goes for the Mets. Bartolo Colon goes for the Braves. DeGrom, basically the only legit pitcher that the Mets have left on their staff. Quality starts in 4 of his 5 outings. Did do pretty well against the Braves back on April 5th, which was his first start of the season. He had 6 Ks, no earned runs in 6 innings on 95 pitches, gets the no decision. Pretty good BVP numbers against a lot of these Braves. Freddie Freeman, Jace Peterson, Ender Inciarte, and Matt Kemp have all faltered more than a couple times. Nick Markakis is the only one with any good numbers. He's 6-17 against them with the homer and 3 strikeouts. Bartolo Colon, he skilled the Mets last time out, you know, 6 innings. He also had 6 Ks on 80 pitches, did give up 1 earned run on a homer. But we've seen SunTrust Park be more of a hitter's haven here early on in its infancy. So any interest in DeGrom? And I'm sure you're not going to have any interest in Colon, but do you see any way that he skills the Mets again?
Yeah, I mean, you could see it, but the question is, you know, this Braves team is pretty hot right now, so do you want to pick on them in what is turning out to be a hitter's ballpark?
I mean, not particularly.
Well, then.
I mean, look, here's the thing, right? Like, again, and I mentioned this kind of playfully at the beginning, but you know, with DeGrom being one of the only legit pitchers that the Mets have, you know, standing on 2 feet right now, you know, do you see, you know, trying to go beyond the numbers here? Do you see him coming out inspired, trying to be like, all right, guys, this season isn't necessarily over yet?
I guess, but I think DeGrom's just going to go out and pitch his game. I mean, that's kind of what I see. It has nothing to do with, you know, DeGrom, the lack of talent by Jacob DeGrom. It has everything to do with the fact that this Braves team is hitting the ball and they are not relinquishing like anything. I think this is one of the higher scoring games of the night, to be completely okay. honest, because I don't see the Mets, even without Yoenis Cespedes, I don't see the Mets, you know, not being able to get to Bartolo Colon a little bit. And I don't see the Braves not continuing to kind of produce still a little bit. So,
all right. Vegas has this one listed as an 8 on the total, so nothing really too telling there. The Mets are 135 favorites. Yeah, that kind of seems a little low for DeGrom, but based on the way that they're playing lately, you know, it doesn't surprise me too much. So, yeah, Vegas isn't really giving us anything, and, you know, we don't really know anything, so it's interesting to say the least. In terms of Bartolo Colon with that devastating two-seamer that he's got there, I mean, that kind of take any interest off of these left-handed bats? Would you rather go righty here?
I don't discriminate when going up against Bartolo Colon. Unless it's a guy that, you know, I tend to lean more towards the favor of the pitcher or the hitter. Like, if the guy can't hit right-handed pitching, then I usually don't play him. but if they've even got pretty decent numbers against against righties, then I mean, Cologne tops out at 90 now. I mean, he's not anything I'm afraid of targeting from either side of the plate.
All right. All right, let's take it to Wrigley here, where we got my Philadelphia Phillies at the Chicago Cubs. Jared Eichhoff, the righty, goes for the Phils. Jake Arrieta, the righty, goes for the Cubs. Jared Eichhoff, he's shown some flashes of upside this season. The luck hasn't necessarily been there. He's got some good history against these current Cubs. Let's see here. Chris Bryant, 2-for-9 against Eichhoff with 6 strikeouts. Miguel Montero, 1-of-8 for 4 strikeouts. Anthony Rizzo, 0-of-8. With 3 strikeouts. And then you got Jason Hayward, Ben Zobrist, both 2-for-5 against Eichhoff in that regard. Got a little bit of interest, and we'll get there in a minute, but Jake Arrieta is probably going to be the top pitcher of the night. But, you know, you got to keep in mind, he hasn't been completely untouchable this season. Does have the 4.66 ERA, 1.31 whip. He has allowed 6 homers here in 29 innings, and this isn't just a road sort of thing. He has allowed he's only pitched once at Wrigley Field this season, but the Pirates got him twice there. He is 2-1 with the 1.71 ERA in his last 3 starts against the Phillies. We know, how do I put this for my own boys? We all know, you know, they're not exactly the biggest power bats here on the Philadelphia Phillies, but you got guys like Cesar Fernandez, Freddy Galvis, Odubel Herrera. They could all fall off the side of a cliff any given moment. Vegas likes the Cubs tonight, of course. They're one of the highest favorites here, but I think that we could actually see a pretty good pitching matchup here between Eichhoff and Arrieta.
Yeah, because the Cubs aren't hitting and Arrieta's not really pitching well. Everything in this says stay away from me. I don't think that either pitcher kind of particularly does what they need to do in order to, I guess, pay off their salary or whatever you want to call it. I also don't think that there's any like outstanding bats either. I think I'm kind of out on this one.
Yeah, Eichhoff has shown some like great starts this season, and you know, I mean, the fact that he's got so many strikeouts against guys like Bryant and Rizzo, and keep in mind, this is at a time last season when, you know, he was going through a lot of these struggles. I mean, at the end of last season, yes, he did. He ended up going up with more of a curveball instead of a slider, which kind of kept a lot of these hitters off balance. So, you know, that has made him a completely different pitcher. Keep in mind, Eichhoff is one of the main cogs of that Cole Hamels deal. So, yes, that is how much the Phillies think of him, or the Rangers as well. But, yeah, he can certainly shut down this Cubs team. Now, on a 15-game slate, believe me, there are plenty of spots to go to. But if you're multi-entering, Eichhoff might not be a bad idea tonight. I have a feeling a lot of people are going to be on Jake Arrieta tonight, but they could certainly be disappointed. He of the 3 quote-unquote aces tonight with DeGrom, Carrasco, Arrieta. Arrieta is the cheapest of them, so you probably will see a lot more ownership on Arrieta. But I do think you could probably match him with a lot better dollar-per-point options on the slate.
I agree. I agree with that one.
Keep in mind, Aaron Altair, if you are going to go crazy and go with Philly bats against Arrieta, I would do it with right-handers because he does have that cutter that can get in on the hands of these left-handed hitters. So Aaron Altair has taken Jake Arrieta deep before in his career, so keep that in mind.
Cool.
All right. Next game here, we got the Oakland A's at the Minnesota Twins. Kendall Graveman, the righty, goes for the A's. Hector Santiago, the southpaw, going for the Twins in this one. Graveman, been pretty good so far this season. 3 quality starts and 4 tries. Allowed 2 or fewer runs in all 4 of his starts this season. He's got a pretty good history here against the Twins. 2-0 in his last 2 starts with a 2.13 ERA. Hector Santiago, 3 quality starts and 5 tries so far this season. All of his numbers have been pretty good. I think he got a little not necessarily beat up by the Texas Rangers last time out. The bullpen did in his last start, but he did waste a lot of pitches. Only made it five innings in that last one, so keep that in mind. You got two good pitchers going here. Santiago, obviously, probably going to have the better matchup of the two going against the A's. Of course, Kendall Graveman going to have to deal with Miguel Sano, one of the hottest hitters in baseball right now. So what above everything stands out to you?
Chris Davis, Jed Lowry. My goodness gracious. I like that. I really, really kind of like the A stack tonight. Especially if Adam Rosales is in that two hole, and I can go Rosales, Lowry, Davis. Josh Fegley is going to be one of the better catcher options of the night. He's got a 235 ISO versus left-handed pitching.
Career against Santiago as well.
Yep, exactly. Ryan Healy's a good option. It sucks that he's a first base guy, but I really kind of like the A's tonight to get to Hector Santiago. I mean, shocker, but that's kind of how I feel.
All right. You mentioned Jed Lowry before. That would probably be the one guy you wouldn't want to go. He is 0-for-21 career against Santiago.
Okay, then. He might not be in the lineup.
That sucks. But I will say Marcus Semien, where is he?
He is on the DL. He had wrist surgery.
Oh, boy, that could explain a whole lot of things. But, yeah, he was 4-for-13 against Santiago at four homers. But, hey, that doesn't matter anymore. We're talking about Miguel Sano. I mean, probably going to be chalk tonight. But, hey, Graven's been good here. So who do you think wins this matchup?
I kind of like Sano.
All right.
I really do like Sano in this aspect. So
I mean, guy's been absolutely crushing it lately. Four homers in his last five games. At least 28 FanDuel points in all four of those five games. So yes, you certainly would not be an idiot for going that way. Remember Brian Dozier double donged last night as well, but again, you know, the Twins really don't have much of a history against Graveman, so we shall see what plays out. I'm not going to be shocked if Graveman does his thing again, but I'm also not going to be shocked if the Twins do theirs either.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. So,
all right, let's move it along here. We got Texas Rangers at the Houston Astros. Nicky Martinez, the righty, goes for the Rangers. Charlie Morton, the righty, goes for the Astros. So Nick Martinez was actually supposed to be back in the minors, but two quality starts have probably kept him here in the rotation. Charlie Morton got a lot of good and a lot of bad that comes with him. He did have 12 strikeouts in his last start against the A's. But here's what's interesting. Right-handed batters are absolutely crushing Morton this season. Right-handed bats are hitting .365 against him while the lefties are at .143. That wasn't as – I think – I don't know, actually. I got to look back on the history there with Morton. But I don't know. Based on all this information, what's popping up for you?
Charlie Morton pops off the page for some god for awful reason. I'm not sure why. Probably because this Rangers team is not hitting the way they should be. The couple guys I do like here on the Rangers are Carlos Gomez, Joey Gallo. I've got to look a little bit more into, let's just see here. Charlie Morton has a 54% ground ball rate. That's one of the highest on the slates tonight and one of the lowest fly ball rates. I want to know what the batted ball profile for Ronet Odor is, because this seems like a Ronet Odor spot, does it not?
It could very well could be. He always does want more horses, so that is in play.
Or maybe a Nomar Mazara, even though he's batting that eight hole.
It was weird. Over the weekend, he was hitting second or fourth. I can't remember. It was one of the two, but you like immediately got dropped back down. Didn't have a bad night.
Yeah, it's... I'm going to have to look into the personal profiles because I'm not stacking the Rangers against them. I think it's just one-offs. And then if, you know, Carlos Gomez ends up hitting a... or getting on base with a double and Rudney hits a home run, then I'll just live with it. But I'm definitely not stacking the Rangers. They're not stringing hits together right now like they should be.
Yeah. Now, if you want to take a little bit of over the number or beyond the numbers sort of look at it, remember the Astros, they have come back twice in the series big to win the first two games here. So, I don't know. Maybe that hurt the Rangers' feelings and they can't get their bats up. Remember, too, had a lot of emotions flaring there after McCullers threw behind Napoli. So you got that there, too. I mean, in terms of what that does for this series, I have no idea. But, you know, Nick Martinez has been pitched. He's pitched pretty well here in these two starts. And, you know, we all know the Astros' propensity to strike out. So that would not surprise me at all if Martinez did well here. And again, remember those numbers there with the righties against Morton, Carlos Gomez, Mike Napoli, Jonathan Lucroy, all could be interesting here.
Yeah, they sure can.
All right, let's see. Two AL Central teams going here. Chicago White Sox at the Kansas City Royals. Mike Pelfrey, the righty, going for the White Sox. And Nathan Carnes, the righty, going for the Royals. Mike Pelfrey, hey, look, the guy sucks. We know this, but so do the Royals. If you want to get crazy, could be an interesting way to go there. Nathan Carnes, I'm seeing a lot of love for on the market today.
I am not picking on this White Sox team right now.
And, you know, I'm going to say I don't.
Especially with a guy like Nathan Carnes.
Sure. He is 0-2. You hear the laughter for this reason. 0-2 to 6.26 ERA, 1.43 WHIP. 16 earned runs and 6 home runs allowed in 23 innings so far this season. He just faced the White Sox his last time out, gave up 4 earned runs in 6 innings, blah, blah, blah. As you mentioned, probably don't want to pick on this White Sox team, but apparently – on the slate, they have the highest strikeout rate against right-handed pitching. The White Sox have been doing all their damage against left-handed pitching, so maybe in some wild form, Carnes can be the guy tonight. I don't see it, but apparently you don't either.
The Padres do. The Padres are striking out at 26.10% of the time against right-handed pitching. The Brewers are second. The White Sox are third.
Okay.
Now we're talking peanuts here. We're talking the White Sox at 25.7 and the Brewers, or sorry, the White Sox at 25.3 and the Padres at 26.1. So we're talking less than 1%. So that's kind of what I do.
All right.
So. But they are one of the highest. And yes, they are doing a lot of the damage versus left-handed pitching. But in that same aspect, confidence kind of breeds over. Maybe they don't go bonkers tonight, but Nathan Carnes is definitely not going to be the guy to, you know, you're going to want to play. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of good BDT numbers everywhere in this matchup. For the White Sox, Eversel Garcia, he has 3 homers in 11 at-bats against Carnes. Jose Abreu injured, correct?
No, he was back in the lineup yesterday, I believe.
He was? All right, good for him. Welcome back.
He was in the lineup yesterday.
All right, good for him. Congratulations. So
it's not like he's performed well versus right-handed pitching this year, though.
All right. He career 4-for-9, 3 doubles and a homer against Carnes. Melky Cabrera 3-of-8 with a double. Then on the Royals side of things, this is where it really gets interesting because number one, we all know left-handed bats against Mike Pelfrey work well. Well, the Royals, they certainly got the memo on that one. Alex Gordon, Mike Moustakas, Brandon Moss, Eric Hosmer, all hitting over 500, if not. Very close to it against Mike Pelfrey. And then Alcides Escobar and Lorenzo Cain are also doing very well against Palfrey as well. So
this is where two worlds collide, because you've got good BVP against them, but you've also got, like,
people using nerf bats.
Well, not only that, but, like, they're just absolutely horrible, like, right now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I remember on Monday I brought up their numbers, and, yeah, I got in batting average and on base percentage. They are last in Major League Baseball, and also runs here as well. But, yeah, they're last, but, they're going to need a month or two to catch up to the rest of the league. They're absolutely terrible.
Yeah, exactly. So,
although I did have Eric Hosmer the other night, and he homered and made me money, so.
Good.
Yay!
That's always good.
Yes, it is. It is. All right, let's get to that same region of the country. We got the Milwaukee Brewers at the St. Louis Cardinals. Chase Anderson, the righty, goes for the Brewers, and Adam Wainwright, the righty, goes for the Cardinals. Chase Anderson, been silently good so far this season. 2-0
Boomer.
Records, 2.10 ERA, 1.07 whip, all phenomenal numbers. He's only allowed one homer and seven earned runs in 30 innings this season. Gets a major ballpark boost, getting out of Miller Park, going to Busch Stadium tonight. Faced the Cardinals back on April 22nd. He went six innings, had six strikeouts on 89 pitches. Gave up a run, wasn't earned, did factor as a no decision there. So he's interesting tonight. Now we got Adam Wainwright, who faced Milwaukee back on April 21st. He only gave up two earned runs in five innings there, but he did have nine strikeouts there. So that was interesting. Got the win there. Our own Chopadong has mentioned, Wainwright not being very Waino-like this season. So, he wasn't kidding. 2-3 this season with the 6.12 ERA, 1.84 whip. Very, very un-Waino-like. Bad Waino. But, he is taking on this Brewers team, which I know you weren't thrilled about. Going up against last night with Carlos Martinez, have your feelings changed at all? Do you what do you like here?
Wayne, no, because I feel like my Carlos Martinez play was right on, because the strikeout upside wasn't there. Now, he didn't, like, he still got the win. He still pitched very well and efficiently, but it's not like the strikeout upside wasn't there.
Right.
Like, he didn't do as well as some people across the industry were projecting him to do.
I got to tell you, early on in that game, like before the seventh inning, there, I believe Eric Thames had one hard hit ball. The rest were all weak grounders.
And, I'm not saying he wasn't.
Pop-ups and whatnot.
I didn't say he wasn't capable of pitching a good game.
And hold on, before you make your point too, the Brewers were swinging at like every single first pitch throughout that. I mean, Carlos Martinez, like, it wasn't necessarily pitch efficiency with him last night. I mean, he was on pace to go the complete distance, and then he ran into a little bit of trouble there in the seventh and the eighth, but they were swinging early on in that count, like, all night.
I can see it. Oh. Yeah, I'm still not on Wainwright. I don't care. I'm still not on Wainwright. I'm not on a lot of Brewers bats right now currently either, but that could change possibly. I want to see if Ryan Braun's in this lineup. Braun has got him. Even though it's not a good average, he has got him for some power. Other than that, I'm kind of just... And it sucks, but I'm kind of just – I narrowed down a lot of games yesterday, and I'm kind of doing the same thing again today, not because of anything other than, I don't see this as being as high of a run-scoring day as yesterday or a score. Even though there's worse pitchers on the slate,
right?
I don't feel like it's as good of spots for power. As it was yesterday. Yesterday we had a lot of wind blowing out. I don't think we're gonna get that. We don't have a bunch of wind blowing out today. So right. I'm looking at some of these. We've got that's blowing in from left. We've got Yankee Stadium blowing out. Tiger Stadium's blowing in from center. Cincinnati's blowing in from left. Tampa Bay's a dome. We do have Boston that's blowing out to right. Atlanta blowing out to left. Chicago's blowing in. Minnesota's blowing out to right. We forgot to mention that. St. Louis is blowing in at 15 miles an hour. And this game might not play, by the way.
Ooh, that's right. Missing the ball on a couple of things here today.
Oh, no, yeah. No, we're trying to include a lot of information, and it's
that day off really got to me.
Oh, my gosh. Rusty. You know, but Kansas City, it's blowing in, you know, and then San Diego and L.A., it's blowing out, but not significant enough to make a difference. So we don't have as good a hitting environments as we did yesterday, and so I don't think there's going to be as many home runs.
Gotcha. All right, fair enough.
But yeah, hey, I don't think this game's going to play.
That is true. Upwards of 80% throughout the entire night. So. Yeah. Yikes. All right, well, I guess we can just get off that one. I actually had a lot of love for Chase Anderson, but you know what? It was not meant to be.
Nope, not today.
All right, we got three games left here from the West Coast. I was not able to get notes done for this one. I had to long night last night.
That's all right. Let me help you out on this one.
Let's do it. Let's do it. All right. We've got the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim going up against the Seattle Mariners. Ricky Nolasco, the righty, going for the Angels. And for the Mariners, Hisashi Iwakuma. Again, with Nolasco, really never see much special here with him. About as average of a pitcher as you will get. Same goes for Hisashi Iwakuma, just a lot worse. He's actually been decent here, but again, he's not going to go deep into games. Again, that's somebody that you want to avoid, extreme fly ball pitcher. What do you got for the people?
The Angels don't strike out enough for me to be on Iwakuma. You can always play Trout as a one-off. Anderson Simmons is still, he's under 3,000 on DraftKings, which is a freaking steal. Those are about the only two I have a lot of interest in as far as the Angels are concerned. For the Mariners, it's the top five in that order, and that's about it.
Yes. I'm gonna see here.
With the 2, 3, and 4 guys all having over a 200 ISO versus right-handed pitching right now.
All right. A couple BVP notes. Robinson Cano, Nelson Cruz, Danny Valencia all have taken Mr. Nolasco yard. Cano twice. Cruz has done it 3 times in 18 at-bats, but doesn't have the greatest average against him. So that part is interesting to note, but still, we're just looking for homers. You know, we get those, we're good. Iwakuma actually has pretty good numbers here against the Angels. Pujols, Simmons, Trout, Valbuena, all hitting under 200 against Iwakuma lifetime. But I have a feeling a lot, you know, since they've played in the same division now for 5 years, you know, you'll see some of that. But again, Iwakuma is a lot worse than, you know, he was in his first couple years with the Mariners.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Anything else here from this one?
Not really.
All right, let's get to another good rivalry here in baseball with the Giants at the Dodgers. Jeff Samardzija, the righty, goes for the Giants. Julio Urias, the young lefty, going here for the Dodgers. Now, let's talk about Samardzija because he sucks. He actually had a pretty good time, pretty good start last time out, but that was against the Padres. So, you know, take that at face value. Samardzija is not good against left-handed bats, and the Dodgers got plenty of them, so I'm sure they will be able to get right to this pirate-looking son bitch. Julio Urias, though, one of the best young arms in baseball. It's a little frustrating with him because he's got talent, but the Dodgers really don't like to, you know, overextend him with pitches. Just based on all that, what you got?
I don't know. I don't like Urias. That's just because of the fact that they don't let the guy pitch. No. Like, they let him pitch. I guess that's not the right word.
I mean, but I guess it's smart for what they do, but it's just not good for us DFSers.
I don't know. I'm a firm believer in learning on the job, and I don't think that they allow him. I think they coddle him too much.
Well, I get, you know, they are letting him learn on the job. It's just, they're giving him 6-hour work days.
Yeah, exactly.
as opposed to the 8.
Brandon Belt's got some pretty good history here. I probably wouldn't mind going to a Belt Pence Posey stack, possibly. I don't love it, but, and I probably wouldn't. I don't think I'm playing the Giants right now. Like, I like playing the Giants a lot, probably more than I probably should, but I like playing the Giants against right-handed pitching.
All right. Now, me being a total DK noob here, you don't get points for a quality start over there, right?
No.
All right. So I'm wondering what the saving for – so a guy like Urias, what is he, 8,500 over there?
Yeah, no. He's – I can't play him at
8,500. Okay. Now, I was wondering because, you know, if you just – if you need a cheap SP2 – because, you know, he did face the Giants in his first appearance this season. He did pretty well. Only went, 5 1/3 there. So, or if I'm sorry, 5 2/3. So, yeah. All right. He's 7,400 on FanDuel. I wouldn't recommend that either. But, yeah, I like these left-handed bats going up against the Marja for the Dodgers. I think that could be a nice little late stack. They did score 13 runs last night, so – you know, you probably will get a lot higher ownership than usual on the Dodgers. But again, I don't think it'll be enough that, you know, really makes you bang your head against the wall on a 15-game slate.
Yeah, I don't think you got to worry about the ownership of the Dodgers, to be completely honest, unless it's on the later slate.
Yep.
You know, like an Express or something. Because, I mean, I had him in my lineup and I got off of him and I was just so pissed because I did it as a hedge because I had Matt Moore. And so I threw in guys like Franklin Gutierrez, Yasiel Puig, Kiki Hernandez, you know, guys that could hit left-handed pitching. And it would have maybe at least salvaged my night and I got away from it to go stupid. So...
Hey, don't be so down on yourself. It's a new day.
And, I wasn't. It just, you know, where contrarianism can pay off, last night was not the night to be contrarian for me. Like, every move, literally every single move I made hurt. Like,
have days like that in baseball.
Yeah.
Certainly will, my friend.
For anybody that wants to know what my score was on FanDuel last night, let's just say it didn't even reach triple digits.
Again, these things will happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's baseball because I could do the exact same thing tonight and win every single tournament I'm in. You know, I trust my process. I know my process. It sucks, especially, you know, with kind of a lot of the feelings that I've had over the, you know, feeling overwhelmed and stuff like that. And all my calls were good. It's just my lineup construction and variance hit me pretty hard. So that's the only thing in that.
All right. Let's put Keith in a good mood and talk about his Colorado Rockies.
Oh yeah. This will put me in a good mood.
They throw out Antonio Sensatella up against Jared Weaver in this one. So, and look, we know that the Padres definitely have some strikeout upside attached to their name. Any interest here in Sensatella? He's been pretty good this season. Not with the strikeouts, but overall.
With the quality of pitching today, I think you have to on both sides. I think he's going to be more popular on DraftKings than he is on FanDuel. I think one of the popular pairings on DraftKings is going to be the, you know, like a combination of a DeGrom, Carrasco, or Arrieta, and Antonio Sensatella.
Yeah, I was just looking at the prices here. So you've got two interesting pitchers with both with nice strikeout upside here where you got Adam Conley. Now this is for DraftKings. With Adam Conley there at 6,300, and then Antonio Sensatella there at 6,200. Sensatella actually gets the benefit of facing Jared Weaver, so that could be two free strikeouts there if he plays his cards right.
Yeah, it could be. It also could be a hit up the middle and or a walk. Rockies pitchers lately have been walking batter or walking the opposing pitcher, and every single time it's happened, it seems like it starts a rally. That's how the 5-run inning for Chatwood happened last night. It started with he walked Trevor Cahill, and then Manuel Margot hit a triple. And since there was a no hitter intact, Blackman tried to make a play, and he didn't make the play, so it ended up being a triple. And then I think Corey Spangenberg walked. Will Myers hit a single or a double, and then Solarte just put the nail in the coffin and just hit a bomb. And then Shimp just hit a bomb right after that. I mean, they went back-to-back on that.
Shimp fed. So, ever since we started talking about his struggles, it feels like he's got back on track. Boy, would Arizona do for the soul.
Arizona and... Yeah, all Arizona.
I don't know where he went after that.
San Francisco.
Okay. Well, that certainly won't do it.
No, but he actually played pretty well in San Francisco. So.
All right. I guess that actually. I mean, I don't know. Jared. Well, nah, that probably does it. Jared Weaver's pitching tonight, so there's never really any interest in rostering him. But certainly for the Rockies bats. If I wasn't mistaken, Weaver had pretty good BVP against the Rockies, correct?
Because not a lot of people have faced him. And we talked about it last time that when Weaver went into – see, this was one of those too-good-to-be-true type things. When Weaver went into Colorado at Coors, I talked about it. I said this is one of the last things that this team wants to see is some soft-tossing, crafty lefty when they were struggling. They're not struggling quite as hard. You know, they've got Ian Desmond back and stuff like that. But I still don't know if I would, like, go gung-ho with the Rockies. Now, that could be just me being pessimistic. On paper, it's a good play. It's a smart play. I just don't know if it's going to work out in real life is my whole thing. Because I've watched these at-bats, and besides Charlie Blackman, you know, there's not, I mean, Ian Desmond, he's only 2-for-7, so you can't really take a lot into that consideration. But besides Charlie Blackman right now, Nolan had 2 strikeouts last night. You know, Cargo, yes, it's not April anymore, but Cargo's still quite not, you know, putting the ball in play with authority. I mean, I can see this being a 4-3 game, you know, and there's no guarantee that Senzatella is going to be the one to get the win either. So, yeah.
Well, here's an interesting to counteract that point. Jared, if you're into narrative and all, you know, crazy numbers like I am, the Padres have not won any of Weaver's 5 starts this season. So you got that. And yeah,
no, but I think he left with the lead in Colorado. I think we just got to the bullpen.
Okay. Regardless.
No, I agree with you, but I think that's what happened in Colorado.
You just get bored from watching 62-mile-an-hour fastballs all day.
I could take Jared Weaver yard.
And I will say, though, that the current Rockies against Weaver right now are a combined 6-for-47. So keep that in mind. Charlie Blackman, though, 1-of-3 with the dong against him. All right. And Carlos Gonzalez also has a homer against him.
Was a long time ago.
For Chega. All right, that'll do it for us today. Remember, we're not going to be on the podcast tomorrow, only 4 night games, but I will certainly have my notes ready for everybody tomorrow for the early games and also for the late slate as well. You know, hell, if I'm doing a couple, might as well do them all. And then, of course, Friday, we're back with a full-loaded slate for the people. So, very happy for everyone there. Good luck with our NBA. I just saw my boy Haster won a grand last night. Congratulations to him. And, yeah, that's all I got. If you want to follow us on Twitter, I'm at 14a.walsh. Keith is at Boomers DFS Daddy. You can do so there. Any closing words for the people?
Don't let variance be your bitch.
That's the new DFS Army rap song right there.
Don't. No, I'm not gonna rap, guys. So I gotta try to make it fun a little bit. So Yeah, we've got some good stuff that I'm also trying to work into the DFS Army lineups page again. This thing has gone from being a lineups page to being a full-fledged model, dude.
It had fantastic call on Aaron Hicks last night.
It did. So we are getting to that time where all these numbers are starting to normalize a little bit.
All right. That'll do it for us. We go.
Peace out.